Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Studios and another edition of the Weekly Video Recap.
The New York Giants are mourning the loss of one of the greatest players in franchise history. Sam Huff was the superstar of the Giants defense in the 50s and the 60s and set a violent tone with his hard hits. Huff was in New York for 8 years and took him to a championship game 5 times and won the 1956 title. Hall of Famer Sam Huff was 87 years old.
About you, living it all alone. Remember all the fears we had, all the tears we've cried, all these years passing by. And I hold on you inside. You let it go. The truth in your bright eyes is down and on. Any time, the world. You let it go. You let it go.
Do you need a love? Do you need a love?
Hi, this is Gazer Butler, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
With Jeff and Tom.
Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hi, this is Jeff Tate, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on Hard Rock and Sports.
Hey, this is Big George Foreman, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sport. Don't you change.
Yeehaw! This is Jimbo Wallace from Reverend Horton Heat. You're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Rock on.
I can say right now, I can say, this is Joe Satriani. You are listening to Hard Rockin' Sports Radio with Tommy and Jeff. Go Jets!
Hi, this is Mark Berner, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on the Hard Rock and Sports Radio Show.
Hey, what's that? Mark Gutscott from Trickster, hanging out with my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom, right here on Hard Rock and Sports. You listen, crank it up.
Hey, sports fans, this is Punky Meadows from Angel, and my new solo album, Punky Meadows Fallen Angel. You're listening to Hard Rock Sports Radio Show with Tommy and Jeff.
There you go. So,
hi, this is Vinny Appice, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hey, this is Tommy John. You're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Tom and Jeff.
Hi, this is Randy Jackson of Zebra, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hey, this is Ken Aronoff. You're listening to Hard Rock Sports with Jeff and Tom.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Mono
Pack. But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And welcome to Hard Rock and Sports. That's right, folks. It is Thursday night, November the 18th, right here on the Hard Rock and Sports Radio Network, or the show network, however you want to call it. And we are looking at darkness, but a beautiful summer day. That's right. It was 72 degrees and better out here in the New York, New Jersey area. And hey to everybody, Kathy and Doug, and everybody here in the RFL Records family. Thanks for tuning in. Love having the seat. Just thrilled to see everybody out there. Hope you all had a great week. Actually, 2 weeks. We were off last week because I got stuck, and we missed the show. But we'll make up for it tonight. I promise you that. Jeff is fired up. I am fired up. We are looking forward to a couple hours of hard rock and heavy metal, and of course some wide world of sports for you tonight. Lots of football news. We got Brazilian guitarist and the newest addition to the RFL Records family, and of course to the Hard Rock and Sports family now, as he's now an adopted son here. And we're lucky to have Alex Meister on with us in a short amount of time. I just played Alex's solo video. He's rekindling his solo career. And his new single for It Ain't About Love was just played. And he's an amazing guitar player, great singer, and a wonderful addition to an already talented and deep staff. If the RFL Records family was a team, they would be the 1927 Yankees. That's how deep that lineup is over at RFO Records. They'd be the 27 Yankees. That's it. So another edition. So looking forward to having Alex on about 7:45. We'll talk about his new single and everything that's going on in the Alex Meister world. So we're happy to bring him to you. In the meantime, Jeff and I are going to talk a little baseball. I want to talk about Noah Syndergaard jumping ship. I don't think it's a bad thing for the Mets. I got to be honest with you, but we'll see what you guys think. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the Yankees. A lot of Jets and Giants, a lot of football tonight. Plenty to get to in the NFL world. Let's see. Syndergaard, Jared Goff, Dwayne Haskins. We got a lot of Robert Saleh. We got, like I said, we got 94. Yeah, yeah. Come on, Dougie. Come on, Dougie. Get out of that. what's up, PD? We got a lot to get to tonight. Lots to talk about tonight. I'm up. I've been off for 2 weeks. We won't be around next week. It's Thanksgiving. We are going to do an early show. I'm not sure if it's going to be a Hard Rockin' Sports show or a Sunday Audible show. But Thursday, Thanksgiving morning, we'll be the show. I hope that Jeff and John will be joining me. We'll probably will be a football show, but we might kick in a little bit of sports and music otherwise. But it'll be primarily a football day. We'll preview the show, the games of the day, three for Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, gobble, gobble, gobble. And kicking off the official start to the holiday season, I am all prepared. So I got some things queued up for that. I'm going to try to get some guests on next Thursday. And we're going to have some fun with that. So stick around tonight. We got lots to get to. And the holiday season is here, guys. So we're going to have plenty to get to during along the way. And all the Eves are on Friday. So we'll be celebrating them here on Thursday night right alongside with you guys. So please stick around and join us for the holidays, which we love around here. But first, let's get to tonight. Like I said, lots of football. Little Noah Syndergaard, little baseball. A little bit of everything. Got some music stuff to get to. So stick around. We got plenty to talk about, and we'll kick it off the show right now. Again, thanks to Sam Bone for setting up the interview tonight with Alex, and thanks to everybody over at RFL for doing a spectacular job and another great signing by you guys. So I'm hoping you're all out there listening and getting ready to see Alex on with us about 7:45. So without further ado, I do see my man. The better half of the show and my dear friend of 40 years, the backbone of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show and the sexiest man on his side of the screen, Mr. Jeff Talwinski. What's up, Hefe? You were there for 30 seconds. Jack, like I kept you on hold for 4 hours. You were there for 30 seconds.
That's not why I'm offering it.
All right, well, let's kick off the show. We haven't done a show in a couple of weeks. I'm fired up. I know you're fired up. There's a lot to talk about. The NFL's crazy. We got stuff out here. I'm an Angels fan. What are we getting, Tommy? You're getting Noah Syndergaard, and he'll pitch 3 innings this year for you guys, and you'll be happy to spend $21 million on him, Dougie. So, but Jeff, let's start off the show the proper way. Jeff, how was your week?
It was all right. I couldn't wait to get on here, to be honest with you.
You were fired up?
Yeah, somewhat.
Ah, me too. I got a lot to get to.
I got to be honest. The Giants suck.
You can say that all you want.
I'm right out of the gate. I'm saying. Whatever you say, I'm just deflecting it, man.
You can deflect all you want. We both know it's not true. The Giants don't suck.
It's true.
It doesn't. They don't suck. But I'm going to show you why your team is not only the worst in New York, but your team is probably the worst in the entire NFL.
Well, it's good. That's good.
Why?
I get the number one pick.
Oh, so you've done so much with the other top picks you guys have had. Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. They've done wonders. Mark Sanchez. The list is endless.
If you say, whatever.
The list is endless. And of course, you got a coach who's basically a putz.
A
putz. We're gonna get into it. Your coach is so bad. Rex Ryan stomped him this week.
That's Rex Ryan says.
Rex Ryan stomped your coach. I'm gonna play you what Rex Ryan said about your coach this week.
Okay, go ahead.
Just because I got no choice. It would be abysmal if I didn't.
All right.
Who is most to blame for the Jets' performance yesterday?
Oh my God! I guess.
Everybody?
I'm going to say all of the above.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Give me all of the above, whatever options I had, because that they stunk the whole bit. Mike White, our guy Mike White right there.
Number one overall pick.
I mean, number one overall. Yeah, quarterback. I love that. How the hell you got – the best thing that ever happened was Mike White played like that. So now they can sit back and say, you have a real quarterback. Let's work on developing him and not Mike White. So – that was the best thing happened, but their defense stunk. I don't know where to start.
You know what I would say about the Jets, in all honesty, as a lifelong fan? I'm embarrassed for them because they don't seem to be embarrassed. There's nothing obvious about them on the field or after the game that suggests they are nearly as upset about how embarrassingly bad they are as their fans are. The Jets have allowed 175 points in their last four games.
That's amazing.
175 points.
It's not like they're playing college basketball.
In an entire season with the Baltimore Ravens.
There you go. Yeah.
Think of that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Ain't no way, Ray.
Yes, it is.
I think what we have
up 165 points in an entire 16-game season.
So,
your thoughts on what Rex said?
Honestly, you know what? I've never met Rex. I've never had a conversation with Rex. I don't even know him, except for people who know him throughout the league. So, obviously, if it's that personal for him, he knows where to find me. So,
were you surprised that he said it?
I'm not surprised by him. He's always got something to say.
Embarrassing. You heard it. Lifelong Jet fans, Rex, ripping your team to shreds. And I'm going to shred your team in a few minutes. I'm going to shred them.
Just hold on one second.
Go ahead.
Rex Ryan, okay, he holds his place in Jet law without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Has not done a fucking thing since leaving the Jets.
Agreed.
Has not even been asked to come back as a defensive coordinator. Has not been asked to come back as a coach.
That we know of, yes.
Here he is. Mm-hmm. They throw a microphone in front of him. Might as well be a ham sandwich. He loses his mind. He can't even fucking speak right. Okay? All he does is bring back what he did with the Ravens. You had two opportunities in the NFL, Rex. You blew both of them. So, and you end up kissing Belichick's rings for how many years straight in the same division? You did nothing. Hush your mouth. Robert Saleh stood up to the plate and told him, says, you know where I am if you want me. I want to see when Rex goes to his office. Let me know when that happens. Then wake me up, okay? Until then, please. Rex Ryan has been.
I'm not disagreeing. But there is some truth to it. And we're going to do a lot of Jet stuff. I don't know if you want to hit it right now, but we're going to do a lot of Jet stuff. And here's what I'll say about the Jets. They're in total disarray. And I'll tell you why I think they're in total disarray.
They are.
Okay, so you have the biggest set of nuts. I don't know how you sit there and abuse my beloved elite franchise when your team can't even get the quarterback position right. You, Mike, 2 weeks ago, Mike effing White, he's the greatest. He's going to lead us.
I didn't say he was the greatest.
I got some text messages that might say a little different.
I was optimistic.
Okay.
He was
so let me ask you this question. Let me ask you if you think they've handled this properly. So Mike White goes out there, plays a great game, beats Cincy, shows up last Thursday night, gets hurt, doesn't get the opportunity to really show one way or the other. Jets go out there. They lose last week to the Colts, get embarrassed. No problem. Comes there this Sunday, and Mike White gets thoroughly embarrassed. So now here's the thing. So now the Jet fans, Robert Saleh, I don't know who's – let's see where we get. You know, he easily could have said from the beginning, I don't care how well Mike White plays. When Zach Wilson comes back, he's our quarterback. He's our future. This is the plan. And it's nice that Mike played well. But he didn't. He got wishy-washy. I don't know. We'll see. So Mike White shits the bed last week. Could we both agree that Mike White shit the bed last week?
I don't think he did, no.
Okay. So four interceptions, complete embarrassment.
Bump in the road.
So now, bump in the road. So let me ask you a question. So then why the following week, this coming week, they're playing – the lowly Miami Dolphins, no offense, Frank Jeffrey. And Mike White's not starting. Zach Wilson's not starting. Why is Joe Flacco starting this game? I'll tell you why Joe Flacco's starting this game, Jeffrey. Because they're afraid that Mike White might actually go out there and play a decent game, and then Zach Wilson's going to come back, and it's going to be quarterback controversies all over the place. And the Jets have handled this in the same regard as if they handled everything else poorly. Very poorly. One last thing. So the Jets came into the season. 1 second, and then you can have all the time you want. I hope you make taking notes on this because it's extensive. And I know your brain.
There's no reason to take notes.
So
all of your things could be deflected with one phrase.
No.
I'll just,
yeah, you, I don't. Let me guess. Giant suck. I got it. But anyway, so Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, you all came into that. We don't care what happens. Zach Wilson is our quarterback game one through game 17. Zach Wilson is going to be our quarterback in the future. There is no other option. This is his learning year. We're going to get through this year with Zach Wilson. Mike White plays one decent game, and all of a sudden it was, well, I'm not really sure what's going to happen now. Wishy-washy. This is why Robert Saleh is, besides the fact that the guy's a defensive guru whose defense has hit all-time lows the last four games, not counting the rest of the season. I'm done.
You're done?
I am. Well, I got lots more, but we'll let you jump in. This is your turn to jump in.
Yes or no?
I'm good right now. Go ahead. It's all yours.
Thank you.
I've turned the floor over to
Thank
you, my friend.
God. Thank yeah. God.
You're good.
The sound of your voice is chasing people as far away as Israel. You can't stand it.
I still don't hear you. You're disputing my truths.
What is it you want to hear?
I want you to defend your team. I want you to tell me how Joe Douglas is doing a good job, how Robert Saleh is doing a good job, how your team is turning the corner, as you've told me countless times.
First of all, the Jets have how many injuries on defense? Several. Robert Saleh can only coach the players that he has available.
Wait. Who's hurt on defense?
Lawson.
Okay, he's been out from the beginning
Marcus
of the season.
May.
Okay, just went out. Okay.
Well, but he's out.
Okay.
There's a couple other injuries. I'd have to get the injury report out. You want me to...
yeah, please. Just whatever
several,
said.
Several other...
You know what's on the injury report? The Jet defense is sad. They're out with being sad.
That's not true. Come on. It says right here. It's in the injury report. Okay? I read it right there. Second of all, you can't blame Saleh. You can't. He could only do what he has to do. You know, the Jets, they traded for Flacco.
Uh-huh.
They got him on the team. They didn't pick him up as a free agent.
Uh-huh.
They got to try him out.
So they gave up a draft pick for a guy they had as a free agent. They got three quarterbacks
right
on their roster.
That's the only thing I'll agree with you there. But it was a sixth rounder, so who cares? Okay, and then to turn around and say the Giants are close to turning it around. Where?
Absolutely.
In a fucking dead end.
Absolutely, the Giants are this close. We're this close. There I am. Close.
So, this is the first time mm-hmm. in modern history
yeah.
that come Sunday,
yeah.
I'm going to buy a white T-shirt
mm-hmm.
on Saturday.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So I could make a Tom Brady jersey
mm-hmm.
for the Bucks-Giants game.
Ah.
It'll be the first time in history. That I will be rooting for Tom Brady.
Now I know the Giants are going to win. Monday night.
They're not going to win. There's no way Brady loses two in a row, especially to an inferior team.
This would be three in a row. This would actually be three in a row. They lost to the Saints.
No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Wow. Man, Patrick, harsh words, Patrick. Barkley has been a bust.
I'll agree with all of what Patrick said. You know what? There's a lot of teams there's a lot of teams out there with injuries on defense. A lot of teams, and none of them are historically bad as the defensive guru Robert Saleh. Defensive guru, he's the guy. Where's the change? Your boy Joe Douglas can't put a team on the field. It's disgusting. I'm embarrassed.
The fucking guy that popped the fucking Achilles. That's his fault?
Yes.
That's his fault.
It's the black cloud. It's the black cloud of the New York Football Jets. When your greatest player is a convicted sex offender, that's the problem.
Convicted sex offender.
Yes.
Meanwhile, you've had fucking coke heads and crack heads and fucking where's Super Bowl hero Dave Meggett? Where is he today?
Doesn't matter. Dave Meggett's not the greatest player in Giant history.
Where is Super Bowl?
I have no idea.
Hero Dave? He's in jail.
Probably right. Probably deservedly so. Probably deservedly so.
I believe it was for rape.
It's very possible. But he's not a great. He's not the greatest player ever.
Dave Meggett. We'll see if he's even.
Let's be honest. The Jets have mishandled this whole quarterback thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They have it. Let's be honest. Do you think they've handled this properly?
Yes, they have.
How could you possibly say that?
Hey, man, here's somebody that's a fucking scuzz bucket. How to sell a Super Bowl ring on eBay. eBay. Oh, boy, yeah. Meggett was a Parks and Recreation director in Robinsonville, North Carolina. Most of his salary was diverted to pay child support. Here's the heroes of the New York Giants.
He's not a hero. He's not the greatest player. Your greatest player.
He was convicted of sexual battery.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Are you done?
Oh,
are you done? Let me know when you're done.
Oh, my goodness. On November 10th, 2010, Meggett was convicted of burglary and criminal sexual conduct and sentenced to 30 years in prison. 30 years in prison.
Okay. What does that even mean? What does that have to do with any of this?
Just showing you what where the Giants aren't exactly.
Well, I said that your greatest player is a sex offender. He nearly raped a woman on TV. I want to accuse you.
Meggett did rape women.
And he should go to jail, but he's not the greatest player in our history.
The greatest player in Giant history smokes fucking white powder. He's a crackhead.
So there's a lot of guys who did that.
None of the Jets did that.
Let's be easy. Remember who your favorite player is?
Who?
Mark Gastineau?
That was 30 fucking 40 years ago.
Same thing with LT.
What are you talking about?
I got an answer for everything.
Do you see any Mark Gastineau paraphernalia around?
Wait.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
Do you see any LT paraphernalia?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, yeah. Forgot. Yeah. I got right behind him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's LT. Like,
I.
Where's your father?
My dad's not calling in tonight. Dad's busy.
Why? What is he doing?
He has a section meeting at his place. He is his
section meeting.
Yeah, he's president of his section, and he's at a meeting tonight.
What is he in fucking jail or something? Is he at a yard meeting tonight?
I don't know. But
what the fuck is that?
Dad called up and said, "I can't make it on the air tonight. I have a section meeting." I said, "No problem, Pop. I'll let Jeff know." So let's be honest. Let's be honest. You really believe that the Jets have handled this well?
Yes.
You can look me in the eye as a human being and say, hey, the Jets did a good job here.
Yes. The Jets did the best job that they could. Yes.
How could you say that?
Well, one, they have a rookie quarterback.
Forget about the rookie quarterback. I agree with the fact to put the kid out
there. It all goes together. One, they have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Two, they didn't have a seasoned backup. Three, they get a backup. He goes out and has a good game. What can you say without causing a quarterback controversy, okay? Four, you have to, what else is he going to say? He said exactly what he got to say, exactly what he could say.
Nope, he's 100% wrong.
What is he going to say?
Simple. He said, we came into the season with the plan that Zach Wilson is our guy. He's our number one pick this year. He's our future. Mike White had a great game, and he'll be prepared to finish the season as he was. And when it's called upon, Mike White will step in and do a great job. But I don't know what to do. I'll let you know. I haven't reviewed the tapes yet. I don't have any idea. I'm just trying to fix the defense. That's what I got. That's what you get. Just that.
Really?
Yeah.
And Patrick, I'm not making fun of Mr. Fleury. I'm still deathly afraid of him. Okay? Even though the man's like 180, I would not fuck with him. Okay?
I can attest to that.
What he did to us when he was fucking younger.
I can attest to that.
So believe me, but back to him. Him, I'm making fun of.
You can bring it, hey bitch. I got you. But your team.
If you knew, I could honestly say that if you knew, I would understand. But you're proving once again that you don't know.
I know. It's simple arithmetic. You came into the season with a plan. midway through the season, your quarterback, who is your future, started to suck out loud really bad. So instead of
he's not terrible,
but that's okay.
He started to suck from game one.
Okay, so your quarterback's terrible. So you know what? No problem. You sit there and you go, hey, he's learning. We're making it through. You get a glimmer of hope from a guy who's been sitting around on carrying clipboards for 4 years. And instead of saying, hey, I have no idea what Mike White is. Zach Wilson's our guy. It don't matter what Mike White does here. We're proud of him, and we're happy that we know he's there and capable. Instead of saying that, nope. Now they're thinking, oh, wait, we might have caught lightning in a bottle here.
Hold on. Patrick's threatening me. I don't know.
Get him, Patrick. Get him, Pat.
10 years younger than you. I'll give you a fucking run for your money, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
You ain't going to catch me, bro.
Hey, Patrick, there's a Southeast Panther reunion, all a bunch of the guys from the Staten Island Touch Tackle League, January 16th in Jersey. I want you to try to make it down there. You'll probably know who
January 16th, the CTE meeting is going to be.
January 16th, Patrick. Put it on your calendar. If you want to come, I'll send you the invite. You come down. There's a whole bunch of the old-time players. Hey, Carrie. Nice to see you. We got Alex Meister coming up at 7:45. Until then, I am shredding the Jets. And Jeff,
you're shredding the Jets.
I am.
Fucking solid fucking fact.
I got tons of solid fact. They suck. Hold on, dude, four games.
Excuse me.
Four games. They gave up 175 points.
Let me adjust my lid.
Oh, my God. 175 points. I'm embarrassed for them. I am. I'm embarrassed. We're losing fans in Israel right now because of it. We've lost half of Israel because of the Jets. But you wear that hat and they go, if you're going to wear a beanie. Don't wear the hat. Because
it's
to
wear as a beanie there. How's that?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem we're having right now is the fact that...
I just got a text message.
From?
I should read this out loud.
Read it out loud.
Okay. Want me to read it?
Well, let me announce something first before you announce that. Do you know how many...
Before you go any further...
Go ahead.
I'm gonna hit you up with this one.
Go ahead.
It is from a fan.
Wow, you got fans?
Yeah. It is from a fan that is watching the show as we speak, not commenting because they don't want to give it away. And I'm gonna read what they wrote, and I quote, Tommy's knowledge of football could fit in a thimble along with an elephant and 5 gallons of water and a sandwich that I'll eat tomorrow for lunch. If I was a little bit taller, I'd punch him in the knee.
Tell Dom I said happy birthday to his kid. Hey, Zed, hello from Sweden. See, Jeff, we got people listening from Sweden. Vekin's band.
That's nice. Ask him if he's a Jet fan or not. If he's not a Jet fan.
Zed, do you happen to be any sort of an NFL fan? You couldn't be a Jet fan because you probably haven't even heard of them. They're so bad. Do you know that they've given up 296 points so far this year?
Yes,
you're barely through half a season.
So what?
Barely getting through. Oh, let's see. Tom Arne, yeah. Silvestri Softball, ASA Majors getting inducted to the Staten Island Sports. Wow, that's very cool. Congratulations to Silvestri. That's one of the Staten Island Sports team, not once what it was. But back in the day, teams like Silvestri's and Millard Fillmore and some of those players and guys are legends. Unfortunately, it ain't the same anymore. Hey, Sambone.
What happened to the Staten Island sports scene?
Yeah, it's a good question.
It just kind of dried up and disappeared.
Yeah, it's more than dried up and disappeared. It's gone the way of the dinosaur. I don't know. For a long time.
There's Sam Bone saying hello. How are you?
Hi, Sam. You're missing.
Yeah, the only thing I could even compare it to
is
the nosedive that the fucking New York Giants have taken.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
And, like, you know, I mean, come on, man. They're a team. They suck. They're not winning. So what do? They go and they hire Dave Gettleman to turn it around. He don't do nothing. So what else do? They turn around and they fucking hire Jason Garrett. What does he do? Nothing. I mean, come on. Come on. Come on. You're going to make me say it. I can't say it.
You can say it if you want. It don't bother me. It don't affect me. The Giants are this close. When we win Monday night, we'll be right back in the playoff hunt and a team to be reckoned with. The defense is playing well. And here's the scary part. We're playing right on the cusp of being good, and we're missing Barkley. Galladay's been out most of the year. Shep's been out most of the year. Tony's been hurt.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up.
Go ahead.
What time is this guest coming on?
7:45. You got 10 minutes.
It's got 10 minutes. Okay, great. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Stats.
Hey, Zambone. Zambone, how are you, Sam?
Here's your boy, Jones.
Yeah.
8 touchdown passes in 9 games.
Okay.
All right. With 5 interceptions, he's been sacked 19 times. This guy's a fucking... Oh, my God, he sucks. Quiet. Booker, 315 yards. Kadarius Toney, 352 yards, no touchdowns. Shepard, 324 yards, 1 touchdown. Galladay, 310 yards, no touchdowns. Really? Slayton, 190 yards in 6 games, 1 touchdown. This is sad. Big bad number one pick, Kadarius Toney. 8 games, 352 yards in 8 games, no touchdowns.
Patrick, mark it down. Giants win, double digits in Tampa Monday night. Mark it down. I said it. I'm backing it up. Giants win. The Giants are on the cusp of getting everybody back. Tom Brady, and I love Tom Brady. Nobody loves Tom Brady more than me, especially on this show. Tom Brady is starting to show the cracks.
You love the taste of Tom Brady's unit, don't
doesn't
you?
Matter. I like Tom Brady. I think he's the best of all time. I'm glad that I've gotten to watch a lot of his games during the course of my lifetime. It'd be something I'll tell my grandchildren about. Tom Brady does not. Tom Brady lost to Trevor Siemian, a third string quarterback. He lost to Taylor Heineke. Okay, I'm not sure what string he is. He couldn't even beat out. He couldn't even beat out that other idiot.
What other idiot?
What's his name? The quarterback.
Daniel Jones.
No, Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic. Fitztragic. Whatever you want to call him.
Same thing.
Yeah. So he couldn't beat him out. Tom Brady is a shell of himself right now. Now, he could right himself before the end of the year, but he might not. I don't know. We keep saying it. There's a time and place where it will no longer have the magic. And it looks like right now his passes are a touch slow, and they're getting picked. And it just may be the time. I don't know. But the Giants are coming. The train is a rumbling. I'm hearing get off the tracks. Big Blue Express. Coming through, baby. That's
God,
what we're hearing.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. This motherfucker hit his head or something this week.
Here we go.
You know, I didn't see you post any pictures.
Of what?
This week. Of the skyline or the bridges.
I was busy this week. I'm a busy man.
Were you too far up that maybe a lack of oxygen fucking hurt your brain?
The train is a-coming. Get off the tracks. Get off the tracks. Dougie Franklin, tell him, Dougie, we're coming, baby. Straight through Dallas.
Negro, please. They ain't fucking going anywhere.
Exactly. You can share your page anytime, my friend. We're more than happy to listen. And if you want, come on the show in a few weeks. Be happy to have you. Send me some information. You can reach out to Sam, and Sam can give you my info. You can reach out to me anytime. So anyway, we're happy to have everybody here. 7:45, Alex Meister, Brazilian Guitar Wizard, and the newest addition to the RFL Records family. And like I said, with Alex, and they got a couple more people coming on board. I can't announce it. I got a little behind the scenes. But these guys, that RFL Records lineup, 1927 Yankees. That's right. The 1927 Yankees is all sitting over there at RFL Records. So make sure you check out RFLRecords.com.
Johnny, well, thank God it's the 1927 Yankees, because it certainly ain't the fucking 2021 New York Giants.
Could be the 86 Giants. I could go for that, too. Could be that. I'll use the 27 Yankees.
Please.
But we
maybe
got
the New York Sack Exchange.
But, you know, like I said, make sure you stick around for Alex in about less than 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes at this point. Of course, come on Sunday. Come on this Sunday when we got the Sunday Audible show. We have some fun on that every weekend. And then, of course, next Thursday, I think we'll be doing a show Thursday morning. I think I've asked my partners in crime. If they're interested, we'll do a quick one-hour show Thanksgiving morning. If they're not available, then I'll be on by myself. But it will be a show next Thursday.
Thursday I'm going to be off. My status is up in the air.
Thanksgiving status?
Yeah.
Really? What's going on in the world of the New York City Parks Department that you may be working?
Co-workers suck.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna do my best to do get out of it, but I may end up having to go to work.
Well, listen, obviously, Doug, please, Doug, I'm not on crack. Doug, please, you can admit it. The Giants, the express train, baby, we're express. Everybody's healthy Monday night.
I will, Doug, I got to step in here. Tommy's not on crack. Lawrence Taylor and Dave Meggett, now that's another story. Those guys smoke crack. Tommy's giant heroes, they smoke crack. Bill Sims, he smokes crack, without a doubt. Saquon Barkley, just his bones crack. That's they're brittle and they crack a lot.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you something. The Giants, it's coming. It's happening. If you want to get on the train, we'll let you all on.
You know what? The big blue pecker that you call the New York Giants? Yeah, the tip is going to fall off.
Listen, don't embarrass yourself. Your team is horrendous. Let me ask you a question.
Nothing to do with the Giants.
But let me ask you a question. Seriously.
Right.
How could you look at your team, be embarrassed, and not say, you know, we've got this general manager who's supposed to be this another guru of player observation. There isn't three guys on your roster that you want to keep next year. There's not three guys.
There is.
There's three guys?
There is.
Okay, Zach Wilson, Quinnen Williams, and then who else?
Mekhi
Becton.
Elijah Moore.
Wait, listen to this. Your coach basically said any other human being would be playing in a couple weeks, but our left tackle's too fat to stand on his own knees, so he needs more time to sit out and get healthy. That's not embarrassing?
I told you you can go back. You can go back.
How about yours? First off,
when I told you that guy was too fucking big.
What the hell just happened? Okay, there we go. Yes, John. I told you I was coming prepared today.
I'm going to say it right here live. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
John, I hope you're listening, but I'm going to tell you right now. John, nice guy and everything else. He's in the background of all of this, laughing and everything else. I'm drawing the motherfucker in. I'm drawing him in.
You're drawing
next, I'm going after the Steelers. I've already beat the Giants to death. I'm going after Mike Tomlin and the Steelers.
Oh, please.
And Ben Roethlisberger.
Please.
You know
please.
Why?
Why, Jeff? Why?
I want to get his ire up too. I want him to get involved.
No, he laughs at you. We laugh at you on our own. We laugh. You know, we go, here's a guy. He's a Jet fan. He's a Jet fan. He has no. You have no credibility.
I want this to be a
no credibility whatsoever. You have no credibility.
Credibility. Please stop. When was the last time the Giants even had a winning record? 10 years ago,
no,
11 years ago.
It was not. It was 3 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
2018.
Possible.
2018. They were 10-6. Went to the playoffs.
They inflated. They didn't go to the playoffs. Oh yeah, they had one game.
How many games has your team been to the playoffs?
Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Nothing.
Doesn't matter. When you win the most important Super Bowl in history, you don't have to go back. All right.
It's 70 years ago.
It ain't 70 years ago.
It's 70 years ago. It might as well be. I don't even think they kept score then. I don't even think they kept score. I believe
you can say whatever you want.
John's not even going to play, which you tell you. What was your... I think I picked Dallas to win the division. I don't think they'll go far in the playoffs, and I still don't. But I think I picked them to win the division.
Listen to him.
No, I can easily prove it. I can easily prove it. So don't. Now.
Sucking up to the fans.
I know. I never picked the Giants to win the division. Never. Absolutely. Never. Absolutely. I never picked
the Giants.
Giants
to win the division.
Oh, here we go. Well, listen. We got better things to do. We got real talent on line with us right now. We got to get to that nice gentleman right now. Thank you. Thank you very much, John. You got my back. John knows who we picked. We know. Listen, first off, Doug, please. I invited Doug to come on the show to talk about the Cowboys. He's running hid because he knows that's a paper mache team run by a bozo who I hope lives forever. So Doug has nothing to say. His team's paper mache.
Right, Doug, let him rip on you. Don't worry about it. It's okay. The Giants are around for how many more hundreds of years than the Cowboys, and they only won four championships.
Listen, if it wasn't for the Giants, the Cowboys wouldn't even exist. We gave you Tom Landry. We developed Tom Landry and gave him to you. That's how great a franchise we are.
Stop.
That's how great the New York Football Giants are. But we're going to put some football aside right now because we have our guest hanging in there, and I'm sure he does not want to talk about American football at all. So let's get him on, and we'll get back to a lot of football. We got plenty to talk about the rest of the night. I still got some baseball. We got a lot of NFL to get to. Game tonight, I think it's Falcons and the very surprising New England Patriots at 6-4. Maybe Bill Belichick's best coaching job of all time. We'll get to it. We'll get
a little bit much on that one.
No, I disagree. You rookie quarterback, lots of injuries, no big names, and that team is 6-4, playing some 4-0 in the last four games, playing some great football. I'm pleasantly surprised. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. Right now, let's get our next guest on. We opened the show playing his video for he's restarted up his solo career, and he's newly signed to the RFL Records family. That makes him part of the Hard Rockin' Sports family, as we all know. So let's welcome on to our show, Dougie Franklin calls him, was it the Brazilian guitar wizard, the gunslinger, Brazilian gunslinger. He is Alex Meister. Alex, welcome to the Hard Rockin' Sports Show.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Fine. What about you?
We're good, Alex. Listen, welcome to the show, and congratulations on signing up and being part of the RFO Records family. We're big fans of John and Doug and Sean and everybody there. So how's it feel? What made you sign? What was it about the guys at RFL? Because Doug, great guy, bad football guy, but great guy. What made you sign? What was it about RFL that got you to sign there?
The first guy when I talked to RFL family was Doug. I used to talk to Doug a lot of times, and last year was start talking about signing my project with Rod Marina, named Marina Meister.
Mm-hmm.
But we have just released the new album about just 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
At 2020, about November or December, so we didn't sign anything with the RFL at this time. So in August, I started talk to Doug one more time because I got back to my solo career, and I was going to release a new song the song Irene Baula, and Doug listened to the song. Got mad with the song, showed to John, to Sean, and also they really liked this stuff, and we've got science.
Well, it's a great song. We opened the show with it, and thank you for letting us play it here. But tell me a little bit, I'm always curious, how did you get into this type of music? You seem like a fairly young guy. This kind of music was very popular back in the day. Is it still popular in Brazil now? How did you get this influence in style?
I'm not so young as my appearance shows. I'm 45 years old.
Okay.
And I was very young, and then I grew up at the late 80s. Mm-hmm. Listened to hard rock stuff. So I started playing guitar at 1988. So I grew up listening to George Lynch, Steve Vai, Red Beach, all these guys. So I always played and listened to this kind of music.
Okay. And was that music very popular at the time? Is it still popular now? Is this, I know that a lot of bands from up here do a lot of work down in South America because it seems like it's more open down there to this type of music in the States. There's pockets of places that still play this type of music, but is it very popular still in Brazil and in South America?
Yes, a little more popular nowadays. But two decades ago, it wasn't so popular. In the 80s, it was popular, but not so popular as on the States or on Europe.
Okay.
For example, bands like Def Leppard wasn't so popular in Brazil. Bon Jovi was very popular. Guns N' Roses, Skid Row was very popular, but Motley Crue didn't. I don't know the reason why. I think the economy in the 80s here in Brazil was running very, very bad. So hard rock stuff was very happy and music to party. And Brazil was not at a time to party in the 80s, I think so.
I think, Jeff, the reason why Motley Crue wasn't very popular down there is because basically they sucked, especially live. Jeff and I got to go see Motley Crue live back in their heyday. Would you say, Jeff, was their heyday? And they should have burnt the place down before they started.
Bands like Iron Maiden are big down there, and then a lot of heavier bands are big down there, too. Sepultura came from Brazil. Motley Crue, I don't think they did too well over there. More America, you know what I mean? Not out of the country so much.
I used to say that I love Motley Crue, but I used to say here that the Motley Crue is the best worst band in the world.
Yes, Motley Crue is the equivalent of the New York Jets here in NFL football. They suck.
Oh, there we go.
But that's a whole different thing, Alex. And again, we're talking about Alex Meister, as my man Dougie calls him, the Brazilian gunslinger, and his new single's out. It ain't about love. And Alex, let me ask you a question. So I read in the bio that Sam sent me that this was your debut singing, and I thought you did a spectacular job. Why did it take so long? You've been in other projects, you've done other things. Why did it take so long for you to step out and get behind the mic yourself?
I didn't raise thinking about to be a singer, a lead singer. I was being a guitar player.
Yeah.
When I decided to be a musician, is to be a guitar player, a lead guitar player, such as George Lynch or Steve Vai. But I started singing once for necessity. I always have to do backing vocals because I'm a big Def Leppard fan. So all the stuff I did with my previous bands and projects was building a lot of backing vocals. But I never used to sing, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
I always hired some people to sing for me. But always I had some problems. Instead, Rod Marana is the best singer I've worked on in my entire life. All the previous ones always have some little problems or something like that that I... that don't be on the perfect shape on the band. So I decided to start singing to see if it works or not.
Well, it's got to make it a little easier for you as a guitar player, and I know you write probably most of the music. It makes it easier to get your music out the way you want it to be heard when you don't have to adjust to your singer's vocals or what he's capable of. Is that a little bit of this?
No, it's not this. Because I always been the producer of this band also.
Okay.
So I always, the way the singer has to sing. But it's not so simple. I used to have good singers. They sing in high tones and stuff like this, but they don't fit so well in the band.
Right.
At the end, so I started to think to try different things and start to be a lead singer would be a different thing to do.
Okay, no, listen, I think it's a good thing. And again, we're talking to Alex Meister. He's newly signed to RFL Records, and he's we debuted. Well, we played his new single, "It Ain't About Love." And what's next, Alex? Is there you got the single out? Is there an EP coming? Is there an album coming? What's is there a tour happening down there? What's your plans coming up?
The idea is to do my second solo album next year with RFL. The idea is to re-release some songs that I did with my previous bands. "It Ain't About Love" is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've released some songs before, but not with the end label. I'll be releasing these songs. I've released two singles before Irina Baldur. It was Hard to Buy and Just Thinking About You. These songs will be re-released with RFL and will be on the records. The idea is to be there with 10 tracks or 11 tracks. And now I'm producing these songs now.
That's it. Let me ask you a question. When you re-release these songs now, when you listen to them and you're working on them, do you go back and say, hey, I'd like to go and change this, or I want to fix that? Do you do that, or do you say, hey, this is what I was thinking at the time, and I'm going to leave it alone?
No. I did that to fix and make this the way I think is the best way the songs have to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the music will keep the same spirit that I did 20 years before.
Mm-hmm.
Just Thinking About You is a song that I wrote in 1996, for example. And Hard to Buy, I wrote in 2001. Irina Baldur is much more new. I wrote the song in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this song deserves a better production and better arrangements that I didn't do before.
Okay.
That's my idea. Write a better... I think the most thing is to do a better production. Because the first record, for example, the production is not good as I wanted to do at mm-hmm. the time. It was a long time ago. This was my first first record and my solo record as a producer too. So I wasn't so able to do the things I do now.
Okay, and I'm sure you'll make some changes that'll again. Listen, everybody here, you got people in Sweden say hello. Carrie saying hello to Alex. You got plenty of fans on here, so I'm glad everybody's tuned in tonight to listen to Alex and catch up on what's going on with him. And let me ask you, did you say you were a big Def Leppard fan?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a question for you because. Jeff and I have been, I will say, I don't know if Jeff would count himself as a Def Leppard fan. I was an early Def Leppard fan, but I was a fan of their very, very first album.
On for the Night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, as a lot of people who are fans of Def Leppard forget about that album sometimes. I'm curious, there's a big difference between On Through the Night, Pyromania, and Going Forward. Do you like that early Def Leppard as a younger Def Leppard fan, or are you more inclined to the Pyromania Def Leppard?
I like On Through the Night so much, but I'd rather Pyromania and much more Hysteria. Hysteria is my favorite album of all time. I love this album. All the stuff from the beginning to the end is perfect for me. The early Def Leppard from On Through the Night, High and Dry, it's very, very cool. I love this.
Yeah, we've had Phil Collins on the show a few times, and I like to ask him about.
Cool.
Yes, and a great guy. He's been on the show three times, and couldn't be nicer to us along the way. And you know, I'd ask him about it, and they don't play a lot of that stuff. I'm a huge fan of that album. I don't know how Jeff feels about that. That's one of my favorite albums. It's a great.
Certain songs here and there. I felt as though that as they started to get later on in their career, everything they put out sounded the same. You know, a lot of their hits, they didn't get very creative, I didn't think.
Yeah, I'm a...
formula and that was it.
Yeah, and it worked for them. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a fan of the first album because it's a clean, straight rock and roll album. And another band that got caught up in the heavy metal world that's really not a heavy metal band, which is fine. But that first album to me is a classic, and I can go to that any time of the day or night. And I think, if I'm right, 40 years ago, Jeff may have bought me that album or given me that album back in the day. I have to go back and think. It's either him or Joey. But
I think that might have been Joey. You had that when I met you. I remember.
But again, so Alex, I just was curious. Since you're a Def Leppard fan, and most Def Leppard fans are Pyromania and Forward. I see John Marhefka, our dear friend. Loves the first three albums as well. Again, Pyromania's got some good stuff. But let's get back to Alex and what's going on with him. And so, Alex, okay, so you're working on the album. Are there still a lot of restrictions, COVID, down in Brazil? I mean, in South America, can you start playing out? Do you have a band ready to go?
No, I don't have a band right now because the COVID problem was close as everything here in Brazil. Just now, all the places are starting to reopen, but it's not so fast. So everything happens again as they did before. So I don't have the band right now.
Okay.
I'm just now writing the album, producing the album, recording, just this. Later, I'll think about the band and everything else.
Okay. I just want to throw something out at you. The gentleman on the top of the screen, my friend Jeff, is a hell of a bass player. If you're looking for a really solid, top-notch bass player who just has bad, he's the one thing, he has a bad let's see. He likes bad football teams. Other than that, he's a fantastic bass player, and he's always looking for a good gig. So don't be afraid to reach out for a tape for my man Jeff. That's all I can say. Keep that in mind in the future, Alex. And listen, guys, I just want to thank Alex Meister, the newest addition to the RFO Records family, for joining us and spending some time with us. And Alex, I love the new song. It's very, very reminiscent of the 80s. And 90s, I love the sound, and the video is so, it looks like something that Whitesnake or one of those bands would have put out there. So you did a great job. You're an amazing player, so I appreciate what you've done, and I look forward to hearing more and more stuff from you. Do you have some websites or social media that you want people to follow you?
Yes, I had on Instagram, I'm at Alex Meister Official. Alex Meister on Facebook. All my songs are on Spotify. My website is www.alexmeister.com.
All right, so I want everybody who's listening out there, whether it's Zed over in Sweden or Carrie or all the people listening to us, there's a lot of people listening right now. I want everybody to listen. And I also want to forget, before I forget, this part of the show is sponsored by our good friends at American Vodka. That's right. Our good friend Mark Scott from Trickster is got a vodka coming out, and we want you guys to support it. So look out for American Vodka when it hits the stores in February, and I'll keep you updated on that. So make sure everybody pays attention. I'll pop that up in a bit. But in the meantime, Alex, I want to thank you. I wish you much success. I hope you'll come back when you got more to talk about. Don't be afraid, and if you got anything that you want to ever promote, you know you're welcome here any time. Just tell Sam, we'll reach out to me personally. I'd love to have you back.
Okay, thank you guys for the invitation. It was a great honor to be here.
Alex, thank you very much, guys. That's Alex Meister. Check him out on the RFO Records label. It's fantastic. Ain't About Love. It Ain't About Love. Great song. If you're a fan of the 80s and 90s, check that out. Alex, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you very soon, pal.
Thank you.
You got it. See you, Alex. You're welcome, Sam. And thanks to all the guys, everybody over at RFO Records. I truly mean it. The guy's got some amazing ability, and his stuff is really good. So if you get a chance, check out Alex Meister when you have a minute.
Is it where he is?
I am not sure. I don't know how that works. I'm not sure. I wonder. I'd have to think about that, Jeff. I'm just going to look that up. I wonder if on our map, our Blog Talk Radio map, if we now have many people listening in Brazil.
You may.
Yeah, I have to check that out after the show.
You may, but you know what? You have to check more.
What?
Never mind. If you're looking for people, that would probably tell you that. But we need to have a world clock sometimes so we know what time it is.
That's true. I know that we're talking to the guys in London. That's 5 hours ahead.
5 hours ahead of us?
In London, yeah. We did good, brother. Yeah, good signing, Jeff, John, and Dougie. Alex is a good man and a good player, and we look forward to hearing more from him. So thanks for sending him our way, and look forward to having him back when he's got more stuff to promote. So as always, thanks to the RFL Record family for including the Hard Rock and Sports family and with to them. So thanks, guys. We're going to get him off the studio, and Alex is gone. So, Jeff, let's get back to some football. Let's get serious. I want to talk a little bit about the last couple of weeks because we've been off the air.
I do have to ask you a non-football-related question.
Go ahead. Go for it.
And I just want to do it before I forget.
Sure.
I was waiting to do this for the last couple of days. What are your thoughts of that Noah Syndergaard, real quick?
Good question.
Somebody else other than the Mets. Do you feel as though that he kind of turned his back on the Mets with that?
You know, it's interesting because, yeah, I do. I think he decided to move on for whatever reason. I mean, listen, the Mets are in turmoil. They don't have a general manager officially yet. They don't have a manager. They really did not have a successful last year and a half because of all of that. And, you know, I don't listen. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of Mets fans are upset about it. The guy hasn't pitched in 2 years. He pitched 2 innings this year. You know, and even before that, he's been average at best, and most of it even below that. So I don't see this as a bad thing other than the fact that the Mets need pitching now. But they needed pitching last year with him.
Pitching, I mean, from when they had what was that guy who ended up going over to the fucking Cincinnati Reds?
Oh, the Black Knight, the Dark Knight. Yeah, the Dark Knight. Yeah. I mean, I could see his face. Matt Harvey,
yeah. And they had a couple different pitchers at that point in time. And, you know, and it's a shame. They just never seemed to get it together. And, you know, I don't know. It's just something about, man, I feel bad for Mets fans. I really do.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I get it. And I think they got screwed a little bit. I mean, listen. Supposedly, the Mets offered him, they tendered him an offer, $18 million, which I thought was fair. And then he got the offer of 21, and then supposedly he never even called the Mets to say, hey, I got offered 21. So that just tells me the guy wanted to go to California. Now, listen, the Angels have done less with more. I mean, they got the best player in baseball in Mike Trout, maybe the second best player in Shohei Ohtani. I want to see it more than one season, but, you know, again, they got some ability over there, and they can't make the playoffs ever. So, you know, is Syndergaard going to go there and shake up the world? No. I think at the end of the day, the Mets are better off not having him not play. I think it's a good point by you bringing it up. I think he said big F you to the Mets and the Mets fans by not even taking a shot at staying there. But he obviously didn't want to, so let him go.
You know, especially when you think that $3 million is really not that much money when it comes to the baseball and sports in general, that you got to wonder if the Mets would have matched it or if they turned around when they made their offer to him, if they said, like, listen, this is it. I don't care if they go a dollar more, take it, because we are not going to match it.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a great point.
Or if they turned around.
It's a great point, and probably wouldn't have matched it. I would imagine they wouldn't have matched it, but the fact that he didn't even give them the opportunity, I think, sucks. That's what I think.
Yeah.
David Coverdale would welcome Whitesnake induction into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I Whitesnake was good, but I'm not buying it to the Hall of Fame. Do you?
No, borderline, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
There's a lot of Whitesnake that we never heard. And I'm not talking after.
You're talking the early stuff?
The early stuff.
The stuff before Tony Katane was rolling around on the hoods of cars and stuff?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Some of it was pretty good. It was more of a blues-based band.
Okay.
Than it is now. I'm not going to say Zeppelin-like, but more than that. Not blues like they play, but, you know, like a rock and blues, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess, you know, listen, when they had the chance to hit it big, they're not going to turn around and say no. Nobody's going to turn around and say no if they changed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some great guitar players for a while.
But there's been so many guys in and out of that band, though, Jeff. I mean, it's never been like one lineup for a long time. I mean, yeah, Sykes has been in there.
Vivian Campbell.
Tommy, what's the Tommy? Was a drummer.
He is. He was the drummer.
Okay.
There for a while.
Okay.
When they made it big, it was Tommy Aldridge, Rudy Sarzo, Adrian Vandenberg, Steve Vai, and David Coverdale.
Wow, Adrian Vandenberg. Hey, Rudy Sarzo's been in just about every band around, and now he's back in some form of Quiet Riot.
Can't even believe those guys are off.
Yeah, I was just scrolling down.
We own I mean, being that all the members, it seems, of Quiet Riot are dead, doesn't somebody have control over this band?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, well, I think Rudy would be the last of the original members, right?
I don't think he was an original member of Quiet Riot.
Well, I mean, listen, if you want to go back to, yeah, I mean, Randy was, I guess, an original member gone. Well, that's right. You know what? The longtime bassist is Chuck Wright. Chuck Wright was the original bass player.
Yeah, so does it mean that
he has
any kind of rights to the band?
Well, I don't know who has the rights. I mean, I would guess that Frankie Vinali's wife, or maybe there's an estate, but they're out there touring.
Frankie Vinali, the original drummer?
It's a great question. I'd have to look that up. I know, but they're out there. There's a band. They're touring, and I think they're going to put out music as Quiet Riot.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a big believer. There's got to be a couple or at least one original member and a big one. You know, like if Kevin Dubrow was still around and he was taking Quiet Riot out, it's almost like the Axl Rose thing. You know, Rose was the only guy left and he was taking it around and some people were buying into it. I think you could at least buy into that. But when you're going around and Chuck Wright, whom I guess 90% of people wouldn't even know who Chuck Wright is.
No, I don't know. I never heard of him.
Yeah,
I
don't know if he was the original bass player, but he was close. And you know, and like now Rudy's back. Now, Rudy at least was there during the heyday.
Yeah, of course. Him, Carlos Cavazzo, Frankie Benali, and Kevin Dubrow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, looking for, I just was scrolling and saw that. Any interest in here's the first trailer for the Pam and Tommy series. So it looks like there's going to be a kind of a TV series based on the life and times of Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson. Any interest tuning into that?
I saw the original movie. That was enough for me. I don't need to watch the TV series.
That was disturbing. I don't care. I don't care what anybody tells you. That fucking video was disturbing.
Hey, listen. You know what? It was 25 years ago. He was banging the shit out of Pamela Anderson. And it ain't anything that none of us wouldn't have wanted to do back then. So, you know, what could you say? He was just lucky enough to do it. He was also lucky enough to walk out of there with hepatitis, too.
That's true.
Well, actually, she got it from Anne.
She got there at Hep C, I think, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, you think about that, her career. She's just as famous for, you know, doing what she did with Tommy Lee as she is for, you know, being herself. And
well, there's somebody who's had a huge fall from stardom. I mean, there's somebody in the 90s was probably one of the biggest, you know, names out there. I mean, first off, time has not been kind to her. Second thing is the best thing. I mean, she's been, you know, more wacky than the next minute. I guess whatever she could glom, or, you know, she's not getting TV parts. Ain't nobody hiring to do TV anymore.
Well, look at her. Like you said, what is she good? Next, she'll be on like fucking, like, you know, whatever. What is not even game shows for these old celebrities to go on. But, you know, listen, in a couple of years, you'll be able to spend, you know, a couple $100, have her come to your party or something and, you know, sing happy birthday to you and blow a candle out.
It was like a few before they got to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You can hire Cheap Trick for like $7,000 to come play your birthday party.
That's nothing.
You know what I mean?
Me and my wife were heavily into the Reverend Horton Heat.
Yes.
When we got married. And we had one of the Reverend songs is our wedding song. And my wife contacted the Reverend Horton Heat about playing for our wedding.
Come on.
I swear to God. And it is doable, man. It is very doable. I mean, they wanted a little bit more than $7,000. Might have been like, I don't think it was $10,000. I think it was more than $10,000. But I was just like, really? This is what it would cost to have them come? It's,
well, let me ask you a question. Do you think
it's not that bad?
Well, do you think that they were not as big and popular as you thought, but maybe that you had them at that level because you were such a fan?
Well, first of all, they weren't big and popular. So, yeah, I probably looked upon them a lot higher than what they are because I was a big fan of their music at the time.
Right.
I still like their music, I just haven't really liked their newer stuff. They really haven't put much out as far as new music, and they kind of mellowed out a little bit, putting out a little bit more towards the country western side. But, you know, some of their stuff is okay from what I've heard.
Right.
But that was my wife's idea. You know, she was like, I'm going to contact them and see what they say.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen, I have a win lotto. I ain't saying that we're going to have the Reverend Horton Heat come play the party, but, you know, now I could get other people if I have a little bit more money, you know.
I got you. I'm curious, who would be the first band you would contact? If you, right here, so Pantera's out. That's your favorite band of all time. Sabbath's no longer around, so you're never going to get Sabbath. If you had the money, what would be the first active band that you would say, I got to try to reach out? And I'll try to get them on my to come play my party.
I don't know. I'd have to, because even if I went Alice in Chains, they're not the same band that they once was. So I don't know if I'd want to see the current lineup playing their old stuff. But you know, I would definitely have to make a phone call over to England, without a doubt.
Oh, okay, okay.
Without a doubt. But here's the difference, you know, other than the people and the record companies and everything else, if I won, like, you know, I walked away from there with like $500 million or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath is playing the party because I'm going to put a number on the table.
You're
say no.
You're making an offer they can't refuse?
Definitely. We'll have to. So even if you got to put $5 million up, so you're like, let the bidding start at $5
million. Yeah.
You know?
Can't Greta Van Fleet just go away? I got to tell you, I just despise looking at those guys.
Why, they're still, you know, I thought they died in the pandemic.
Yeah, no, it says Greta Van Fleet announces Dreams in Gold 2022 tour.
Yeah, but you know what? Listen, don't get too excited, because nobody's really pushing them now, from what I see.
Yeah, I haven't seen much from them. I'm just flipping through Blabbermouth. Let's see, Alex Lifeson to perform at Andy Kim Christmas show in Toronto. And I see that they're working on a tour. It seems like a lot of people are trying to tour next year.
Yeah, because they're running out of money.
Well, I guess, yeah. They ain't making no money off album sales. I see a bunch of guys saying they're not putting out new albums, which is, I see Kiss is not going to do one. I do see that there's a couple interesting ones.
The Osmonds, man.
Yeah. Hey, dude, let me ask you. The Rolling Stones launched limited edition collaboration with Tommy Jeans. Who's buying jeans? Who's buying jeans that the Rolling Stones wear?
There's
built-in pockets for the colostomy bag?
Well, maybe, but there's a couple things you got to take into consideration.
Go ahead.
Not one living member of the Rolling Stones has hip problems.
That's...
So maybe these pants are holding everything in the hips.
You think that's what it is? To extra snug at the hip section?
Look at some of the possibilities. None of them that I know of have had knee replacement surgeries.
Okay.
So maybe it's like an exoskeleton for these older folk, you know? I don't know.
Okay. Let's
you
see.
Know, girls still seem to go wild over Mick Jagger. Maybe these pants make his ass look good.
I have no idea. Fozzy's going to be out on tour next year, if that makes you feel any better.
Not really.
Let's see. Who else is there? Joey Belladonna, Anthrax.
Huh? You know, Matt said about Stryper. I don't think Stryper's ever going to play again because their guitar player has a tumor form.
No, he's gotten better. John, Oz Fox has gotten better. I saw some pictures, and that listen, they're still.
Yeah.
I think the full band. And their last album was really good. I can't think of the name at the top of my head right now. I'm getting old, but their last album was fantastic. So don't. And if you get a chance, go back and find Michael Sweet's new album.
And I'm not wishing bad on them.
Yep.
But, you know, the little that I do understand and know about brain cancer,
yeah,
it seems as though that once you get it, it gets you. And there's nothing you're going to do about it. You may rebound a little bit, ask Gary Carter. But, you know, well, you actually can't ask Gary
can't
Carter.
Can't ask Gary Carter.
Yeah. But any of these celebrities and sports star, Doug McGraw, Dan Quisenberry, people that had it, they it's just a matter of time. Bobby Mercer.
Let's see, Ted Nugent, Rob Halford says there'll be another Judas Priest album. And I keep hearing more and more rumblings of this Iron Maiden and Judas Priest teaming up. I'm hoping that happens next year. I'll book that trip right now, baby. I'm in.
How far away would you go to watch that one?
You know, I'll tell you what. if they were playing, if they usually open and close their tours in Florida, I would go to Florida to see that, to see a show.
Yeah,
I would do it. You know, one, I love going to Florida. In fact, I'm looking to go in February to the Keys for a week. So I would do that. Now, again, I would love to see Maiden in the Garden, and I would love to see Judas Priest. I've never seen Priest once. Again, I always do the same thing. It's still just, you know, a couple of guys left in the band at this point, but I would not have a problem going to see Priest and Maiden. So if that ever happens, you got at least one ticket sold.
Well, listen, you got to see. I think them announcing a tour like that would almost be like admitting defeat.
Why?
Well, because I think that means that their heyday and their drawing power is
oh, over. But I think it is already. For Priest, I think Maiden.
Listen, Lou Toro goes to a lot of those shows.
I got you, but Priest is not doing. Again, you know what? I won't argue. But I think what that tour does is it's huge. I think if you're a metalhead from the 80s, you're running to that show. I mean, again, I think most guys are running to the show anyway.
I'm not saying you're not running to that show, but that show happens.
Yeah.
Okay? who headlines?
Maiden. I'm sure they're going to alternate it. I'm sure they would alternate it.
I think that they would have to alternate it.
I think they would probably.
Ron Halford in his 70s. And Maiden in their 60s, and most of their fans that are going to be around the same age for the most part.
Yeah, 50s, yeah.
You know, the amount of hips that could break in one song is it's got to be a fucking world record.
I wonder if they let Priest back into the Garden. You know, I know that they've been banned from the Garden forever since that whole tear up the seats thing. So I'm curious.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know how that would go. Again, Hard Rock and Sport.
Thing happened, maybe. On their last show ever, maybe. You know what I mean? Or last tour. When they're like, this is their last swing through here. We're going to, you know, let bygones be bygones. And even if it happens, they're going to fucking throw cushions all over the place.
Tear it up anyway. Ralph Shevin said, we're going on tour with Maiden, Lamb of God. Yeah, I think that's going to happen, Matt. That's been a rumor, and I think it would be a huge tour through the states and through the world if they put that together. I mean, I don't know what I know. Priest has been playing like smaller venues, Atlantic City. You know, when they come through the area, they haven't been playing the Garden. You know, Maiden plays big arenas. So I think that would be obviously an arena tour. And I'm not huge on the other band, Metal Church. You a big Metal Church guy?
I was when I was younger, but I kind of lost interest in them. They put out a second or third album with the singer they had at the time, Mike Howe, who recently died.
He just passed away, right? Yeah.
Yeah, not too long ago, and I kind of lost them in that. You know, but I liked their stuff, but I just never.
Yeah, me. Fully
caught on.
Yeah, me either. But I would, again, I'd go see Maiden and Priest, but I would, yes, Jeff, I'd be honest with you. Like Matt said, they're probably starting in Europe. I would jump on a plane and go to Florida and catch a Maiden show in Florida and then catch one up here. And you know, I think to me, we were talking about this at work. Like, when do you realize you're old? Or when do you realize, like, you know, you become your parents? And I said, the day I know that Iron Maiden is no longer ever going to come back around and tour again, that would be the day for me. When there's no more Iron Maiden.
You won't have to wait, though.
No. You don't think so?
No, I know so.
Okay. Well, I'm holding off to that.
My last birthday.
You left.
God, I woke up and I'm like, holy shit. Like, you know, think of where you are now.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then you're sitting there and you're like, oh, 55. My wife is 55. I watch football games and there's rookies that are like 5 years younger than my daughter. I'm like, when the fuck did that happen? You know? Then you sit back and you think of how old your parents are.
Yeah.
And you remember that. When your mother and father were born, Babe Ruth was still playing baseball.
No, not my parents. Babe Ruth was, I think, dead by the time my mother was born and just dying with my father.
Babe Ruth died later than you think, bro.
Babe Ruth died in 48, if I'm not mistaken. He was 53 years old and died in 1948. My mom was born in 51.
And he died in 1948.
There you go. My father was born in 48.
Okay. Well, my mother and father were still, were, he was still, was he still playing? They were born in the early 40s.
No, he stopped playing. Well, let's see. So he was 53.
He stopped playing in 1935.
Yeah. So he, yeah. So you, our parents didn't get to see him.
No, I didn't say, I didn't mean that they get.
No, I got you. But I mean, just being, by being alive. Yes. I know.
Still being alive. Let's see if one other one. You know, and it just, wow, just that alone, it's like,
yeah,
you got to be kidding me.
Listen, we are still enjoying our life. And speaking of which, we got the big holiday jam coming up for the Rosebank Boys. Jeff's trying to put that together. I saw him put out the message.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, it's like, what the fuck happened? All of this time went by.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody said anything. It's not anybody's specifically their fault.
Yeah.
But it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, what happened?
Well, I had it on my notepad for me to send out a message Saturday morning, so you jumped in, which is fine with me. So I'm with you on that. It's fine. So we have the Rosebank Jam coming up. We do it every year. This will be our 10th year doing it. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think there's pretty much a consensus date. We're waiting on Mr. Paul Gill to, put the rubber stamp on it. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. So hopefully that we got the big Southeast Panther reunion January 16th. So if you're out there and you want to join into either one, come on, let us know. We'll happy to have everybody pop into the reunions. But I'm a little up in the air on the Southeast Panther reunion this year. I'm up in the air about it. We'll see if I'm attending or not.
You're not going?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I get the. Sometimes I say I want to go. Sometimes I say I don't want to go. I'm up in the air. But if the boys, some of the boys are going that I'm tight with, I'll probably make an appearance as I usually do.
I think you should, man.
We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But right now, I'm making an appearance here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show with my good friend Jeff Tolwinski, and we're here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Next week, there's no show at night. We may be doing one during the day. We'll see how it works out if Jeff and John are available. We'll do a little football for the day. And, of course, we're here every Sunday morning on the Sunday Audible, which is really gaining some steam. It's a nice little show. So if you're up in the morning on Sunday, you want to hear about our picks and what we think. And we got Rafael Esparza on, the head odds maker at mybookie.ag. We get some guests. Come on Sunday mornings, but the big show is Thursday nights. So make sure you get back in. And Jeff, I want to talk a little football with you. We were off last week. And it's been an interesting season, to say the least, I think, at this point. I'm going to throw it out there, Jeff, right now. Jeff, right now, who are the two best teams in the NFL right now?
Oh, wow. I'd have to go with the Tennessee Titans
mm-hmm.
at 8-2 and the Cardinals at 8-2.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you. I'm going to tell you, I think it's the Green Bay Packers. Are the best team in the NFC, and you're not far off with the Cardinals. Listen, I picked them to get their coach fired by midseason, so I'm way off on the Cardinals. as far as the AFC goes, boy, it's a tough pick. Every week it seems to change.
Yes, it does. But you know what? You say Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. Who I used to look at as a pretty likable type player,
mm-hmm.
it seems to do stupid stuff, enough stupid stuff to be less liked upon, you know.
Oh, he's a douche.
With the haircut and everything, I don't know.
Yeah, he's a douche. Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, he's a douche. But I would tell you right now, based on the way they're playing, and if you have to go up to Green Bay and win, I don't like the way the Tampa Bay's playing. They've lost two in a row. Tom Brady looks a little old. Now, let's say he can't rebound and come back, but I'm talking at this moment, don't like the way they're playing. I'm not big on the Cardinals offensively right now. Obviously, they got some injuries to their two best players, so we'll see how that comes about. Dallas, to me, is an enigma. I'm not sure yet what Dallas is, Jeff. I'm not sure.
The best team in the NFC East. But I don't think it carries far outside that division.
Yeah, I it's a weird thing. I mean, Jeff, I watched these games, and, you know, one week, you know, teams are world beaters. You know, I watched the Browns go out and kick the crap out of Cincinnati, who I thought was a good team. And then they show up the next week, and they get crushed by the Patriots this week. You know, Cincy beats the Ravens one night, and then the following week they show up and they get crushed by the Jets. I don't get this season.
No, it's. I think a lot of it has to do with what happened with COVID, man. I really do. I think that teams didn't get enough chance to play earlier on in the off season. I don't think that they, you know, got to gel. They got to know their teammates very well. And I think it's starting to show, and that's why you have some teams that just aren't dominant. You know, you got a team like you bring up the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And, what's his face? Belichick is doing with that team. Well, it's hard to say you're wrong, but you're right. He has been doing a lot with that team, but, you know, is that day all of a sudden their bubble just going to burst one day? And I think it is. Buffalo Bills, one week they look like they're going to win the Super Bowl. Next week it looks like they're not even going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's playing with house money.
I agree with that, but okay, but what happened?
A year ahead of where they're supposed to be.
I agree with you. Agreed, 100%. But, you know, you're talking about a team that played really well early.
Cleveland seems to be regressing, and is anything, is Kansas City back on the rise again? Because now they're in first place at 6-4.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a team that just a couple of weeks ago, I know that everybody thought they were dead.
Yeah.
But because of what happened, they may be flying under the radar as they're getting, you know, going to the top. Let's see what Mahomes does this week.
Yeah, I mean, did they catch? I mean, listen. I'm not big into the Raiders. I think the Raiders team, without the issues, may have had a really good season this year. I think going to the Giant game, it was just too much. You know, the Gruden thing, Ruggs, and then the corner, Ahmed gets kicked off the team. I have to get over to that game. I think the Giants caught the Raiders at the perfect time, and I think the Raiders just could not handle any more adversity, if you're asking me. But I agree with you. The Chiefs kind of surprised me a little bit, Jeff. But I still can't buy into them right now.
Listen, they still have, 6-4? You still got 7 games.
Yes.
You know, it's not exactly the strong division.
Mm-hmm. So,
A couple weeks ago, everybody was saying that the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
You know, they've turned the corner. They're a contender. This and the other thing.
Yeah, 2-3 in the last 5 games.
We even talked about them.
You're right. They win
3 in a row. Something like that.
They've lost one. They're 2-3 in their last 5 games. I think Denver 1 week goes into Dallas, kicks the crap out of Dallas in Dallas, goes home and loses to the Eagles. You know who? You know, we talked about it Sunday on the show. I know you were busy, but John and I talked about it, and the NFL got exactly what it wanted, and that's parity. And parity, to me, is just another word for just average play. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. I mean, you got teams that, you know, I don't know if I like it, don't like it. All I tell you is that, I don't know how to pick games anymore.
No, but you know what? You don't want to see a bunch of 500 teams.
No.
You want to see your best teams hover around a 500 mark or a little couple games above. You want to see your best teams, you know, into double digits wins. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking 11, 12, 13 wins, 14 wins. You know, you want to see the one or two teams that really outshine the rest. This here way, you know, it doesn't matter if they win, mm-hmm. unless, of course, they're the team that you root for.
Yeah.
Then it's a different story. But you just want to see some good football. You want to know that there's one team that's going to crush everybody, you know, and then maybe they get into the playoffs and it doesn't happen. Give somebody else something to strive for.
I couldn't agree more.
I don't see it this year, to be honest with you. I mean, the Cardinals were doing good, but, you know, they have some injuries. The Titans, I didn't even realize the Titans were 8-2 until the other night. I was watching the Titan game, the repeat of it, and somebody said that they were the best team in the AFC. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I thought they lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they must have been like 6-2 or 5-2 at one point in time and won a bunch of games in a row.
Dude, they were 2-2, and they won up 6 straight games.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm looking at them right now. The Tennessee Titans are 8-2, and they've won. Winning streak is 6 in a row.
Wow. Okay. So then there you go.
Yeah. And again, there's a team. They lost Derrick Henry. Julio Jones has been is on IR and has been no factor on that team.
And then I just heard that Derrick Henry is coming back.
Is he coming back?
Before the end of the season, he'll be back.
Well, I mean, if they can keep this up, get home field advantage, because right now they might have the best record in the AFC.
They do.
Then, you know, you're talking about a big – think about the big lift that would be at the end of the year to get that guy back. It's almost like a big trade at the end of the season.
Sure, man. Of course. You know, listen, that team, the Titans.
Yeah.
You give them a 7 to 10 point lead, and then you just put the ball into Derrick Henry's hands and just let him go.
Yeah.
You know, it's how you chew time off the clock and control the game and just never know if he's going to win or not.
No. And I got a couple things to bring up to you. One, you've been on this guy all year. Questioning why isn't he playing? And Jeff, Cam Newton found the way back into the league, back with a reunion with his old team, and got a big W this week.
Yeah, I didn't think that he was going to go back with those. I figured somebody else would have picked him up somewhere along the line, but both parties seem to be pretty happy.
Yeah.
At this point in time. But listen, I saw a picture of Cam Newton, you know, flexing with no shirt on.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, how did this guy not get signed by somebody? The guy looks like he's in phenomenal shape.
Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Yeah, no, listen, I hear you.
Honestly.
He's choosing with the greatest football player in his time.
No.
But, you know, he's still better than half the people. You're going to tell me that he's not a better option than anybody in Washington? You know, look at the people that they got over there. He's not a better option.
Jeff, I'm not telling you that these guys are good ball players, but I watched him throw the football last year, and he couldn't throw the ball 30 yards. So I didn't see any of the game. I didn't watch the highlights of it yet. But, you know, and I'm hoping to catch some of his game this week. But I have to tell you, the guy couldn't throw the football. So, you know, maybe he's one-dimensional. He throws some passes and runs the ball a lot. And the guy's still in phenomenal shape, but, you know, there's no way you're going to tell me that if the guy can't complete a pass, you know, 30 yards down the field, he's not going to play on a lot of teams.
Listen, I understand that. And yeah, you're 100% right. But you know what? Think about some of the quarterbacks that are in this league right now.
Yeah.
Okay? New Orleans could use a quarterback. I think that he's better than anybody who's quarterback in New Orleans right now.
Denver.
Okay. Philly.
Houston.
Well, I don't think that they
Miami.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that could use somebody. The Jets, when they had nobody. You know, I would have fucking taken Cam Newton over Joe Flacco.
But here's the surprising part. He was on the team last year in New England. He played okay. You know, they won some games. They go to the rookie this year and they cut him. And you know, luckily for Belichick, it's worked out. I just think that there's nothing left in the tank for a guy like Cam Newton.
You know, maybe they just cut Cam Newton to see a way. There is no quarterback controversy.
I think that's exactly
it. Cam Newton, there is no quarterback controversy. We got Jones. That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's played really well. I don't know how much you've watched with all of that, but Jones has played really good football. He's not great. You know, he's not lighting the world on fire. But Mac Jones has played good football, probably the most pro-ready of all the quarterbacks that came out this year. Hard to,
after watching what the Jets did and what their quarterback is doing, Trey Lance isn't doing very well or isn't playing very much, I should say. Justin Fields hasn't been able to do much.
No.
You know, so, you know, he is the one that's playing the best out of everybody right now.
Yeah.
Probably Zach Wilson is the one playing the worst out of everybody right now.
You know, listen, I don't think I've seen much out of any of these guys this year. And I got to tell you, if you go back to the 2018 class, you know, Baker, Donald, Lamar, Rosen, Allen. You know, Allen's the only one that I would say is really playing great football. I mean, I know that Lamar Jackson won the MVP. He won it because he ran for a lot of yards. You know, to me, Josh Allen's the only one of that bunch. You know, that was a big draft class for quarterbacks. And to be honest with you, right now, Baker's played shit like shit all year. Sam Darnold obviously hasn't played well. Lamar is iffy, is up and down at best. And then, to me, Rosen's out of the league, so he may be a backup somewhere at this point. But,
I don't think so. What was Sam Rosen, right?
Or no, Josh Rosen. Yeah, I think last I saw, he was backing up in Miami. The third quarterback there. But
we'll find out right now.
It's still early for this draft class.
You're wrong.
Where is he?
He was on the Arizona Cardinals for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins for 2019, Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 2020, the San Francisco 49ers in 2020, and now he's on another team, 2021 so far. You want to take a guess of where it is?
Hold on. Let me think about that for a second. Where is he right now? New Orleans?
No, NFC team.
NFC team, okay. I have no idea. Where is he?
The Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, so he's on the game I got on the screen right now. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, man, talk about somebody who, was pissed off. I remember when he got picked, 15th or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All pissed off, and he had an attitude. And people are going to see why, going to understand why they passed. And,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever, they're going to be pissed off that they passed on me, and he ain't done dick.
No, I got it. Hey, listen, it's been up and down. I also want to play. I got to play you this video. You didn't see anything on the Teddy Bridgewater controversy, did you?
No.
All right, I'm gonna play you a video. Take a look at. To me, if I was Teddy Bridgewater's teammate, I would never play with the guy again. Now, there's two schools of thought. After you see the video, tell me if you didn't tell me what the two schools of thought are. Okay, here's the video.
Best on fourth down this season, 10 out of 13. Melvin Gordon, straight ahead. Oh, the ball's out. Coming out of there with the football is Darius Slay. Slay on the move to the outside. Blockers in front of him. Slay all by himself down the field.
Now, I don't know how you feel about that. Now, there's two schools of thought, Jeff. Do you know what the two schools of thought are?
Well, one has to be he's got to be gun-shy about getting injured.
Yeah.
Or he is injured. But, no, I don't know what the second one could be.
Well, one is, you're out there, you're a football player. Your teammate fumbled. You got to stick your head in there and make a tackle. The second is what you just said. I don't want my quarterback sticking his head in there and getting hurt. And he's already had a bad leg injury. To me, Teddy Bridgewater is a pussy. Okay?
It's hard to dispute that.
I mean, you can't look at that and tell me that you don't make an effort to tackle a guy.
He was running full speed, it looked like.
You want to see it again? He just stands there and watches the guy walk by.
Yeah, I mean, like as he was running, because I remember where he was.
Yeah.
He was still in the same location of where the play was. As that guy passed him, he wasn't running. It looked like he was kind of jogging in the general direction.
Correct. 100%.
I don't know, man.
I mean, if you're on that team and there's guys out there who are hurt, guys who are playing injured, to me, as a guy who played at a local level, if I played with a guy at a local level who did stuff like that, I would think nothing of the guy. I'm sorry. I get the fact that I've seen guys all week. Some guys defended him. Some guys blasted him.
The guys that defended him, what did they say?
The defenders say, well, he's a quarterback. He's already had a major injury in his life. You don't want guys sticking their head in there and getting hurt and then not being able to play. And I said, you know what? Bullshit. You know what? You stick your head in there and you play the football game. And you worry about each individual play. And I'm sorry, I make no excuse for that guy. That to me, that's a pussy move. And if he was on my team, I'd have no respect for him.
was unless the coaches told him, you know, you don't get involved in this, you don't get involved in that.
Maybe.
You know, that's one thing. Second of all, were the coaches any of the people that had anything to say?
I didn't see I didn't see anything negative from any of the coaches. I've not seen anybody in the players knock it. This was all over Kellerman's show. I don't know if Stephen A. Smith had it, but a bunch of those guys were blasting him.
Well, he just definitely deserves to get blasted, which leads me to believe that if it was the coach's decision, you know, maybe there was an injury happening right then and there, not that right then and there, that moment. Maybe he's not 100%. Maybe the coach said, listen, we don't want you to get involved. Maybe he said, listen, I just can't do it. I'm scared shitless. I'm worried. But you're right. You're going to play a game. You're being counted on to do something, and you didn't do it. So it's kind of hard to cut the guy any kind of slack.
No, I could not agree with you more on that one. Again, I think Denver obviously will be looking for a new quarterback next offseason. I'm assuming they're going to try to move up in the draft. I would not tell you that this is going to be a huge quarterback draft. I think you're going to see some guys moving around the league a little bit. You can see a guy like Mike White. You know, listen, somebody out there is going to say, hey, I saw something in that guy. The Jets will trade Mike White for a future draft choice at the end of the season, and he'll wind up someplace as a starter. Trevor Siemian has probably worked his way into a starting job next year somewhere. Based on how he's played so far, it's not been terrible.
He may be there already.
Yeah, true. Maybe it's Winston who's looking for a team next year. I don't know. This is not – I don't see this as a huge NFL draft for quarterbacks like others have been, but that's a little ways off to get. We got to get to the regular season. Jeff, what's your thoughts on OBJ getting rewarded, so to speak? Here's a guy who – has not played well the end of his Giant career, all through his Cleveland Brown career, was probably more of a distraction, gets himself cut, and then gets to pick what team he wants to go play for. And, of course, he picks, you know, what some people would call the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, you know, listen, I don't know. He certainly seemed, when they got released or when there was talk about him getting released, he certainly made it seem like he was going to control his own destiny, and it certainly looks like he did.
Yep.
But, I mean, you know, if you were in that position, how could you blame him?
No, you can't. And if you're the Rams, I get that. You know, here's the thing. The Rams were hoping to get him as a, you know, third, fourth option, you know, a guy who maybe comes in, stretch the field a little bit, and then Robert Woods gets injured in practice and is lost for the season, and now – you're the Rams, who haven't played well the last few weeks, and now you're expecting Odell Beckham to be your number two guy. A lot to ask.
Yeah, a lot to ask, but you know what? He has enough experience, and I'm sure they could dial up a few plays that, you know, he doesn't have to go at this point in time, learn the entire Facebook playbook of the Rams. They're probably just going to, you know, tailor a few plays for him. And, you know, get him out there, and who knows what, you know, what they're thinking. Maybe they tell him, like, you know, just run a 10-yard out here, 15-yard out, you know, or do a over the middle slant, you know, who knows?
Yeah, listen, I get all of that. Like I said, I mean, his initial game, 2 catches, 18 yards, not necessarily a great start. And, listen, the Rams.
Not a great start, but you know what, Tom, the thing you're forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great start.
Why?
And I'll tell you why it's a great start. Because now he's making himself so they have to account for him. Doesn't matter whether he catches the ball or not. He's on the team. He's on the field. Uh-huh. It's somebody that you have to account for. Now, I understand what you're going to say, but the guy just isn't playing. He's a selfish player, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
But he's still a dangerous player, and he has to be accounted for. Maybe he's accounted. Maybe he gets double coverage. You don't know. Maybe they instead of playing a man-to-man, maybe now this team plays zone because of him. You know, a lot of teams are going to play different just because he's on that team. And you don't know what he's capable of at this point in time. But, you know, he's another guy that looks, I'm not going to say soft, because soft is not the word that I'm looking for, but another guy that just hasn't played that much, you know, in the last couple of years with injuries and everything else that, you know, even if he plays – how dangerous could he be? But I guess you can't be, you have to at least, consider him and have him covered one way or another,
No, listen, I understand your point. I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. has been the same player the last 4 years. I mean, obviously, been very injury prone the last few years. Has not made did not make any sort of impact in Cleveland. I think if they would have brought him in as a third guy, fourth guy in L.A., where you sneak him in, you get 3-4 catches a week, you can live with that. Now you're asking him maybe to do a lot more, and I don't think he's capable anymore. The guy's almost 30 years old. He's been a ton of injuries. So we'll see. The Rams' two straight losses have not looked good. Matthew Stafford has not played well the last couple of games. So they're pressing a little bit in a very tough division.
Sure,
okay.
I'll be right back.
Good. Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here every Thursday night. Remember, our good friend our buddy Mark Scott has a vodka coming out. Let me see if I get that up on the screen right now. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see. Cancel. Let's see. Let's do the share. See if I can find share screen. I'll see it. Maybe. Hold on. Never mind. But our good friend Mark Scott from the Trickster fame. Mark has a new vodka called American Vodka. It'll be coming out in February or so. So make sure you stick around and you find out where to get it and support Mark. He's a great guy. And anything American, I'm in. He's got the colors. He's got the vodka. And I'm sure everybody will be out there looking to get Marcus Scott American Vodka. So looking forward to that. We'll be back here every Thursday night, except for next Thursday. Unfortunately, it's Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, it's Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to it. Family time and get to some good eats. We'll have a little football show in the morning. Hopefully, Jeff will be able to join us. But I think John and I will be doing it. I'm not sure if it'll be a Sunday Audible show or Hard Rocket Sports show. Probably it's on the audible because it'll probably just be football. So hopefully Jeff will be able to join us. But either way, Thursday morning, look out for to the Sunday Audible show. This Sunday, John and I will be there. Hopefully maybe Jeff will pop up for a minute. But we'll be back, John and I, in the Sunday Audible show this Sunday morning, 9 a.m., breaking down all the day's games. Rafael Esparza, our good friend, will be popping up to talk a little betting with us. And sports in general, and even though we get into some movies, we get into all that good stuff. So make sure you check out both shows. The Sunday Audible runs through the week after the NFL season ends, and we got plenty of that. We'll have some special shows for the playoffs and lots of good stuff along the way. And of course, you have the Hard Rocket Sports Show. We're here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. And again, remember, check out Margo Scott. And American Vodka. So lots of good stuff from my man Mark.
Is he sending samples?
I don't know. It's a good question. I did not get that. He did not offer that yet. But of course, I asked him if we were allowed to promote it. He was thrilled that we would do it. So who knows? Maybe we'll get a couple samples along the way.
Now tell him. So you want the ship promoted? One hand washes the other, and two hands wash the face.
Understood.
I don't see you getting any soap.
Let's see. Look. Okay. So Paul, I got to check on Paul's stuff. Hey Jeff, I'm going to put the tree up this week. I got all my fixings, as they call it. I got my train set. I'm all ready to pop. I'm going to do a little before and after video. We're ready to put the tree up.
I'm hoping to get my tree up this weekend too.
Yeah. So, thank you. Oh, thank you, Alex. What is the official? Is Thanksgiving the official start to the holiday season? Is it started already? To me,
started already, man.
Yeah, I already watched two animated videos. They've had them both up already.
Which one did you write?
They had The Grinch has been on, and The Year Without a Santa Claus has been on.
I started that one, but I have it taped.
Yes, me too. I have both DVR'd. So I'm already into the holiday watching, and this weekend the spare room will be completely decorated and ready for me to start watching videos, and I might even do a show from in there at some point.
The Rudolph is on Monday.
Is it?
Yes, Monday the 22nd, before Thanksgiving.
Oh, really? This Monday night? Wow.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. Back in the day, they showed it one time, and it all happened after Thanksgiving. They never jumped on it this early, you know?
Of course, no. But now they do show it. Sometimes you catch it a second or third time.
Oh, absolutely.
I DVR'd it, so it doesn't matter.
Me too.
But do you have to have the tree up and lit to really thoroughly enjoy these shows?
Yes. I did watch. I didn't watch it through. And yes, it's not the same feeling for me without the tree and all the stuff that goes with it.
And which one is it that you're looking forward to the most?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. Boy, I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm a big Year Without a Santa Claus guy. And then of course I love Rudolph. But you know, the story of Rudolph doesn't get me. It's the other stuff. It's Herbie, Yukon Cornelius. Like, I love those characters. I think they're the funniest things in the world. And still at 54 years old, I crack up every time I see Yukon Cornelius come flying in and, you know, the bumble and the whole bit.
Well, you may like this year. Okay, at my house, we're going to have, you know, two trees up as usual.
Yep.
And I told my wife we are going to have a Rudolph exhibit.
Oh, really? I do like that.
I have some of the Rudolph characters.
Oh, nice.
We are going to make a Rudolph. We have I make a Peanuts Village.
Okay.
And matter of fact, tomorrow, more than likely, I'll be checking CVS for more Peanuts stuff.
Oh, nice.
And as far as my favorite, this is all I can say.
Oh, well, I think that goes without saying that is your favorite.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm going to show you something the wife got me just the other day. Yesterday. I must have been good because this I got, I didn't even know that this was coming. And she brought it home for me yesterday.
What'd you get?
I'm going to show you. I'll lift it up here.
Oh, a little Snoopy shirt, man. Nice. I like it.
It's a blanket.
Yeah. Oh, it's a blanket. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Use this when we're watching TV.
Love it.
And, when we're watching football.
Yep.
We'll set that up on the bed.
Nice.
The dog lays on that, and I wrap her up, and then she snuggles up against me.
Nice. I like your style. Yeah. I got to tell you, I am so looking forward to this holiday season. I don't want it to get here because when it gets here, it's going to be over before I can blink, and then I get depressed for a little while. So I can't wait for it to get here because I've been listening to Christmas music every day on my way back into from work. Sirius is playing, has two channels up. I'm waiting for 106.7 to get there.
They didn't start yet, 106.7?
No, they I think they're waiting another week, but there's two Sirius channels. Holly and then another one that I listen to.
They have that Christmas music on year-round on Sirius?
No.
No?
I couldn't listen to it in the middle of summer.
I'm not saying to listen to it, but I thought that maybe they had it.
No. They bring it on. They bring it up every year right at November 1st. As of November 1st, you got Christmas music on Sirius. I am right there listening to it. Let me kill off the Block Talk Radio listeners.